It's good to be here on this morning to have an opportunity to share the bread of life with you this morning. And as Christians and servants of God, we anticipate and look forward to meeting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the air, that we might be forever more with Jesus Christ. And this is a comforting thing for those that are Christians. But if you are not a Christian, we are going to earnestly try to persuade you that you might receive the truth with meekness, and that you might be able to submit yourselves unto God, believing in the Christ, the Son of God, that lived and died a cruel death. But God raised him on the third day, giving him life, and he is sitting on the right hand of God. And if you would only submit your life to him and put him on in baptism, having your sins washed away, you too can meet him also if you overcome all things, as we just sung just now. And this morning, we want to preach on a subject which is also on our whiteboard: restoring first century Christianity. Restoring first century Christianity. That term, restore, I was reminded of yesterday when we were over at Zachary's house working on my car, and we were watching something called, I believe, American Restoration. And they were showing, I think it was a horn, big old horn that had been used for a long time and it was no longer in use. So they were implored to restore it. They cleaned it up. They put all types of things on it to make it work, to put it back in the original condition that it was when it was brand new. And when they finally had it restored, they pressed the button and the horn blew, because they had restored it back in the original condition. And that's exactly what we're talking about today, because the word restore or restoration means to bring back or to put back into a former or original state. It is a return of something to a former or original condition, like a building, like a statue, or a painting. But this morning, under our consideration, we're thinking about restoring first century Christianity. We're talking about restoring the church as it was in the first century. And to help us to understand that principle, Brother Perkins read Leviticus chapter number 6 and verses 1 through 7, where in the law of Moses, we find it provided a plan of restitution to those whom were victims of robbery, and those that were found guilty of robbery, they were required to restore whatever that was stolen in principle, and also to add a fifth to that. So even in the Old Testament, we see the plan of restoration, of bringing back to the condition of it was before those individuals were deprived of their belongings. And today we want to focus our attention to bringing back Christianity, the church, to the original state it was in the first century when it was established, to achieve the unity that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed about in John chapter number 17. In John chapter number 17, let's consider Jesus' prayers. in John chapter number 17 and beginning at verse number 20, we find that Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." And in verse 23, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world might know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." We need to get back to being one in Christ Jesus. And we find that to restore Christianity, we must be willing to follow God's plan. And those of us that have departed from God's plan, we need to be willing to go back to the Bible. We need to be willing to admit that we had been wrong in leaving the commandments of God for our own personal commandments or doctrines of men. Because in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 17, the Word of God teaches us that we should do all things by His authority in His precious name. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." We have to learn to respect the authority of God. When He has prescribed something to do in a certain way, we have to be willing to submit unto it and not get upset, not want to do it our way or the way that we want to do it, but just do it how God has commanded it to be done. A return back to the Bible or the original in all things is a must if we are going to speak the same thing, if we are going to have the same mind, if there is going to be no divisions among us, we're going to have to go back to God's precious word. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 10, we find this admonishment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Well, how can that be? Well, if we all submit ourselves to God and to His precious word, we can be one in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus Christ prayed for in John chapter 17, that we might be one as Christ and His Father are one. And if we would only return back to the Word of God, we can do that in its purest form. Restoring first century Christianity. The term restoration implies that man has left God's pattern. That term restoration implies that man has left God's pattern. If man did not leave God's pattern, there would be no need for a restoration of Christianity. But mankind has left the pattern that God has left for us in his church in regard to worship, in regard to the church's organization, in regard to the plan of salvation, how one must be saved, in the doctrine of Christ, and in just daily living. Men and women have departed from the pattern, from the plan that God has established for us in his precious word. And it's unfortunate that it is even prevalent in our own brotherhood, that we as the Lord's church have even left the plan that God has set for us. And if you would only do some traveling and you would go to a church building that says Church of Christ and you go into it, and after a while, you'll say to yourselves, this is not the Lord's church. Because you'll see all types of things. You'll see instrumental music. You'll see women praying or presiding over the Lord's Supper. And all types of things that should not be in the body of Christ. Because men of God and women of God have left the pattern. And for those congregations that are doing that, they need to be encouraged. In matter of fact, they need to be rebuked to return back to God and his ways according to his word. And it is unfortunate that man has left God's pattern through the deceitfulness of sin. But if you depart from God's pattern that he has laid down for us, we need to recognize that you will be separated from God. You know, even we as a congregation, the Gehanna Jefferson Church of Christ, if we depart from the doctrine of Christ, God will separate from us. You know, we can act like we're the people of God, but if we have left God's pattern for worship, for his organization, for his church, God will separate from us. And we might act like we're the most righteous people on the earth, but God has separated from us if we have left his plan of salvation. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2, we learn that our iniquities and our sins have separated ourselves from our Lord and our God. And we need to be encouraged, because if we don't return back to the Bible, we will have to suffer the consequences of departing from the Lord. Let us consider in Leviticus chapter number 10 as an example of someone that has departed from the pattern that God has laid down. In the book of Leviticus, chapter number 10, we find two of Aaron's sons had departed from the pattern that God had laid down for them as priests. And Nadab and Abihu, they offered something to the Lord that he did not command. And let us see what happened to these two gentlemen. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verses number 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire thereon, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not." That's the important part that in that verse to remember. God did not command them to do what they did. And what happened to these two men? The Bible says in verse 2, and there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Guess what's going to happen if we depart from the living God? What's going to happen if we leave the pattern that God has left for us in His Word? We're going to ultimately be destroyed. And we don't want that, do we? We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want to be separated from God. And that's why we need to return back to the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, the Spirit teaches us that some will depart from the faith because they have not submitted themselves to God. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and in verse number 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. That's what we're talking about. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. See, even the Word of God teaches us that some people in the body of Christ, they're going to depart from the faith. They're going to depart from living righteously. They're going to give themselves over to doctrines of the devil. They're going to reject what God has said in His Word. And that's why there is a need for restoration. And of course, as a result of departing from the faith and the message of God, we know that we have no fellowship with God. There's a great consequence of departing from the pattern that God has laid for us. In the book of 2 John and verses 9 and 10, in 2 John, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So if you transgress and you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't belong to God. You don't belong to God. But if you abide in the doctrine, as the text says in verse 9, you have both the Father and the Son. So it only makes sense to us to abide in the doctrine of Christ and to be restored to the unity that God has always intended for you and I. Also in Romans chapter number 10, in verses 1 through 3, in Romans chapter number 10, in verses 1 through 3, we find that the apostle Paul had a great desire for his fellow brethren, the Jews. The apostle Paul had a great desire that his brethren would be saved. But Paul recognized that they had left the pattern that God had laid down for them. And they had established their own standard of righteousness, which so many people do today. Because it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How many people today are guilty of the same thing? How many denominations and world religions are guilty of this same point in departing from the living God and establishing their own standards of righteousness that are not based on the Word of God, but is based on human hearts? And we must be careful. The scribes and the Pharisees are like the denominations of today, because they vainly honor and worship God by teaching doctrines of men, which is, of course, is a departure from God's precious word. In Matthew chapter number 15 and verses 8 and 9, Jesus talks about this very point. In verse number 8 of Matthew chapter number 15, Jesus says, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He says in verse 9, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So if you have left God's pattern, your worship to God is vain. It's empty. It's worthless. And isn't that a shame? So many people this morning are filling buildings with thousands and thousands of people, and they're thinking they're worshiping God, aren't they? But their worship is worthless. Why is it worthless? Because they left the plan. They left the commandments of God. And they went for the commandments of men, which cannot save them. Which cannot save them. Restoring first century Christianity. God wants his church to be restored to the original pattern. God wants his church to be restored to the original pattern. God wants members of the brotherhood of the Lord's church to return to the original pattern of the church. And God also wants all those denominations that have departed from him to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be added to his body. He wants them to leave those bodies and those things that are contrary to his word and to be added to the body of Christ. And that's going to take restoration. It's going to take a willingness and a desire to go back to the pattern. And it's so easy to not go by the pattern. You know, we buy things sometimes, and what do? The first thing we throw away is what? The instructions. Not going by the pattern. And sometimes we find out we have to dig in the trash can, don't we? Get those instructions. We don't need to dispense of this precious book, because the Word of God is indispensable. We can't live without it. We must return to it if we have departed from it in our lives. And we need to be restored, as is on the board, in our worship. There's a lot of things in worship today, even in many congregations of the Lord's church, that have departed from God's plan. From instrumental music to clapping to women being involved in the worship service, and the list goes on and on and on where we had departed from worship. The organization too. I've known churches of Christ that are not organized in the right way. I've known congregations where they have deacons. Don't have elders, but they have deacons, and the preacher is the boss over them. That's not scriptural. That's not according to the Word of God. But some churches of Christ operate in that manner in the organization of the church. And that's wrong. And there needs to be a return back to the plan, to the Word of God. And we need to be encouraged to go back to the plan if we have deviated from God's plan. It's no shame in returning back to the plan. Have we made mistakes before in the past? Yes, we have. But let us not be ashamed of returning back to the plan that God has ordained for us. In mission, we talked about that this morning. You know, our mission is to go out into the world and teach the gospel of Christ. If that mission has shifted for any reason, we need to make a change. If that's not the emphasis of us as Christians, we need to make a change. We need to make a return back to the gospel of Christ. Because the Bible teaches us in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's our mission. Now, some denominations would love to just X this passage of scripture out of the Bible because it teaches the necessity of baptism for the remission of your sins. Those that advocate that, they need to return to the gospel plan of salvation. And if we have departed from that plan just to get more people in the door, we need to return back to the plan of salvation. As we talked about, there needs to be a return back to the organization of the church, as the Bible teaches us once again in Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 5, where the Bible says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. That's the proper organization. And we also need to return in worship and in daily living in service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How many of us this morning are ready to speak where the Bible speaks? How many of us are prepared to be silent where the Bible is silent? How many of us are prepared to call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways? Are we prepared to go back to the Bible? If not, we want to encourage you. We want to beg you to come back to Jesus Christ and his way. And if you're not a Christian on this morning, you can become a Christian by obeying the gospel of Christ, because Jesus offered his life as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And God wants you to come believing in him. He wants you to repent of all of your sins and to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized in water, be immersed in him for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might be one with Christ, that you might walk faithfully every day for him. And when it's all said and done, when we overcome all things, we will receive that crown of life that does not fade away. And if you're a servant of God this morning, and if you have left the pattern that we've talked about on this morning, we want you to know that you can come back to God's pattern. Don't be ashamed. Just submit yourself to God. Repent of your sins and commit yourself to return to God's pattern in all things in this life, that we might be able to live forever with Jesus in the life to come. If you stand in need of prayers, we'd love to serve you in any way that we can. Why not do so as we all stand and sing?